Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Matthew, the 9th chapter, in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now remember, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he's moved with compassion. He cares about these people. And how people know, it wasn't just limited to this multitude of people. He cares about people across the board, everywhere, all over the world, all peoples, everywhere. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So Jesus is walking in this love of God, and he is moved with compassion, and he sees the people, they're weary, they're scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Verse 37, then he said to his disciples, notice his response now. He says to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Into his harvest. Send out laborers. Notice it's Jesus' response. He's moved with compassion. He's full of the love of God. God loves the world. And yet people are weary. People are scattered. People are lost. People are still dying. People are still going to hell. So, you know, again, I come back to this, that we have to get a hold of the reality that just because it's God's will for people to be saved, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But yet people are perishing all the time. All the time. They're perishing right there in front of Jesus. Jesus recognized his own limitations, being in human form, that he couldn't reach all these people. He needed help. So here he is, full of the love and compassion of God. And you'd think, well, God, if you're so full of love and compassion and you want to deliver these people and save these people, reap this harvest, just do it. But notice Jesus doesn't turn to the Father on this one and say, Father, just do it. Just, I'm so moved with compassion, and you'll do whatever I ask you. Do it. Cause everyone to be saved. He doesn't do that. He doesn't turn to the Father. He turns to the men around him. He says, fellas, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray for people. We need help. We can't do it all. We need more people to get on board with winning people. So again, there's this terrible deception among Christians that, well, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. Well, it didn't happen. It must not have been God's will. People going to hell is God's will? No. People being sick is God's will? Well, you know, God, you know. No. See, there's this terrible mentality that we have this idea deep down on, even among, I believe, many of us, down in there, even though we've heard differently and we keep seeing differently in the Word of God, still there's that religious, lying, deceiving spirit in this world that keeps making us believe, keeps making Christians believe that somehow it's all going to get done if God wants to get it done. Or it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, it wasn't God's will. And you still see a lot of folks, it still slips out of their mouth with different things. Well, you know, I'm just believing God. You know, if he wants it to happen, it'll happen. And they'll say that about all kinds of different things. Prosperity. Right? I mean, you just name it. Right down the line. Healing. Their health. Well, God must not have wanted it to happen. Well, God wanted it to go this way. No, Jesus says time and time again, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. He's looking to us. He's looking to, he said, I need laborers. I need laborers. I need people that'll rise up and be activated in the harvest field and go to work and begin to share the good news and reach out and start bringing people into the kingdom of God. But there's such intimidation, there's such fear, there's such worry that keep people all bound up. They're so afraid that somehow they're not going to be liked and they're going to be looked down upon. In fact, we see over here in Nehemiah chapter 4. Let's go there this morning. Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. The children of Israel, after being exiled to Babylon, have been granted permission by the king to return back to Jerusalem to build the temple and then later to build the wall around the city of Jerusalem, which had been torn down by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. They had come in, torn it down, burned the whole city, burned everything up. And so now a group of people go back to rebuild the walls, and Nehemiah is at the head of this project. And so here they are, and they've come to build the wall around Jerusalem again. And they are met with immediate opposition from all the different peoples in that region. A lot of the Arabs are very anti-Israel, and they do not want to see this wall get built. And of course, you remember our text over in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, where he said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap on behalf of the people of the land. Remember that? He was looking for people to stand in the gap. And again, a gap is a break or an opening, primarily in a wall. So he's looking for folks to stand in the gap concerning this spiritual wall around people's lives to protect them from the curses that Satan would try to bring upon them. Satan seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And because of sin, there's gaps, there's openings in the walls around people's lives, making them vulnerable to the destroyer. But thank God you and I have gotten in Christ Jesus. And we keep ourselves clean of sin, right? If you miss it, if you fall, you don't make excuses for it and say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You know, I'm just an old sinner. That's what sinners do. It's another terrible, wicked mentality among Christians. If you're an old sinner, you're probably not going to heaven. I don't care what denomination you got branded on your forehead. You ain't probably going to heaven if you're an old sinner, because sinners don't go into heaven. The ones that go to heaven are new creations. People have been washed of their sin, washed of all condemnation, have been made white through the blood of Jesus. It's not just their record that's been made clean. They've been made clean. They've been made righteous. Those are the folks that get to go to heaven. So again, you know, we're not just old sinners. We're keeping the sin out of our life. We confess it. When we get off track, we confess our sins. And thank God he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can keep ourselves clean. A lot of folks think they can't keep themselves clean, but thank God we can keep ourselves clean. So he says, what about doing things wrong that we're not aware of doing wrong? We're not aware of it, you know. Well, he said, if you confess what you do know, then he'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse you of the stuff you're not aware of. You're responsible for what you know. Amen. And how many people know they're to get in the Word? Come to church, hear the Word of God, so that they know more. Yeah, that's a part of your responsibility too, to grow in your knowledge. Grow in your knowledge of more, so that you can rise up, take responsibility. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself washed. And keep your holes all patched up real good. Praise God, no holes in our wall. Somebody says, no holes in my wall. That's right. So now we can be a wall for others. Where their walls are broken down, where they've got gaps, openings, breaks in their walls because of sin, because of darkness, you and I can step into that opening through a thing called intercession. We could stand in the gap and put our faith in there and believe God for them and say, these people are my inheritance. I claim them for the kingdom of God. Jesus purchased them with his blood. They're not fully aware of that yet, but I know it. So Satan, keep your hands off of them. They're mine. And I'm going to stand in the gap for them. Hallelujah. Just like Superman, you know. Jumps in front of Lois Lane, right? Guy goes to shoot a gun, he jumps right in front, takes the bullet. But it didn't matter because no weapon formed against Superman's gonna prosper. Isn't that right? So thank God you and I can take the bullet for somebody else, amen? It doesn't matter what kind of fiery dart the devil shoots at him, we could jump in front of him. Because we know we are the superheroes on planet Earth today. Amen. Somebody say, I'm a superhero. Yeah, you're a Superman. You're a Wonder Woman in Christ Jesus. Yes, you are. You are supernatural. Yes. Thank God you and I aren't going around looking for a hero. We already got our hero. And now we're going to be a hero to somebody else. Be a hero to somebody. Rescue somebody. Deliver somebody. You got all this power. You got all this anointing. You got all this knowledge, all this wisdom, all this revelation. All they need is just a little bit. Just a few crumbs to fall from your table can change their life forever. Come on. You and I eat good. If we just give folks crumbs, people that don't know anything, we just give them some crumbs. It'll transform. We'll see the greatest miracles we've ever seen before. People born again. People translated out of the kingdom of darkness. People raised from spiritual death. Come on, we've got it. We've got it. We've got an arsenal of good things. We are ready to go to war for the world. And of course, that starts in our neighborhood. That starts in our backyard. That starts right around us. We just bring our world right down to right here. Hallelujah. And we're going to win people. We're going to reach people for the kingdom of God. That's what we're called to do. So we're going to patch up. We're going to stand in the gap, and we're going to work to patch up these breaks in the wall in other people's lives. Well, we have a type of that in the Old Testament, a type of these spiritual realities I'm preaching to you this morning about the spiritual wall, these spiritual gaps and so forth. We've got a natural physical type of it here in the Word of God. And it's this wall around Jerusalem, the city of God. And so Nehemiah goes in there to revive these stones and put this wall back up and to close in all the gaps and things. And we pick it up here in verse 7. It says, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and that the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. Now, Sanballat is a type, although he's a man, a real man that existed in the past and history, but he is a type of our spiritual enemy, Satan. And all these other men with him, all these Ammonites and the Arabs and the Ashdodites and all these folks are a type of demons. So we can learn spiritual realities by looking here at this example in the Word of God. And so notice that they're closing up the gaps. There's a group, not everybody, has left the comforts of Babylon to return back to Jerusalem. A lot of folks have settled in complacency and captivity. There's a lot of folks that are complacent with their captivity. They'll be happy just to remain right there where they've always been. But then there were those that were zealous for the Lord, and they wept over what God wept over. They had and carried the heart of God around with them because they were people of prayer, people consecrated to God. And they became burdened with what burdened God. And God was burdened with the condition of Jerusalem. He was burdened with the condition of his people. And there were those that carried that burden, Nehemiah and a group of people, and they returned back to Jerusalem. And it was a dangerous journey, and we read that in the book of Nehemiah. It was a difficult journey. And when they got there, they were met with all kinds of adversity. I mean, their lives were constantly being threatened. And so
Here they are, and they're doing it. They're doing it. They're building the wall. They're doing what seems impossible. It seems like an impossible task, but yet they're doing it. In fact, go back to verse 1 and look at this here. It says in verse 1, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. You know, if you want to get the devil upset, stand in the gap for others. They say, I don't want to get the devil upset. Oh, yes, you do. Praise God. Yes, you do. Because when you're getting the devil mad, you're getting God glad. That's what you're doing. If you want to make the heart of God glad, you make the devil mad. Because they're diametrically opposed to one another. And notice this, he was mad about it. He was indignant. And watch this, and mocked the Jews. He began to try to intimidate them with mocking. He tried to intimidate them, cause them to get afraid of going forward and doing what was in their heart to do for fear of being mocked. This is why so many folks do not reach out to others. They do not share the gospel with people all around them for fear of being mocked. And I'm here to tell you this morning that according to the Word of God, that is one of the deceptions of the enemy, to try to keep the church from building, to keep the church from standing in the gap, to keep the church from reaching out and saving lives, cause them to fear being mocked by people. You see it right here. Can you see that? Mocking. We can't worry about being mocked. These guys put their head down and they just kept going, even though they were being mocked by professionals. I mean, these folks were professional mockers. And it goes on, some of these verses here shares about, let's go to verse 2. It says, and he spoke before his brethren, the fellow demons, and the army of Samaria, and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? These feeble Jews. Notice that. First thing devil's going to try to do, he's going to get you afraid of mocking. He's going to get you afraid of being mocked. And then he's going to try to get you self-conscious and to see yourself as feeble. And you're not able to do this. You really need to get somebody more spiritual to share the gospel, because you didn't even know what you're going to say. How can you share the gospel? And look at your life. What kind of witness are you? You're not going to, you feeble little thing, you feeble little Christian. He gets you all self-conscious, makes you think that you're feeble spiritually to keep you from moving forward. We can't fall for this weapon of the enemy anymore, this lie of the enemy anymore. What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifice? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? I mean, the church world is burned out on God. People are burned out on God. You're not going to, I mean, everybody's wanted revival, and we still don't see revival. Well, how are you going to bring any revival? You feeble little, look at, how many are in this place? What can you really accomplish? And how long have they been saying this? This is how the devil talks. He mocks. You're going to turn the world upside down. Sure you are. He's a mocker. Do you see that? Well, bless God, thank God, they just kept going. Verse 6, so we built the wall. That's what we did in response. So what are you going to do? We're going to build the wall. We're just going to keep throwing ourselves out there. We're just going to keep doing it. We're going to keep gathering the stones. We're going to keep gathering the stones. We're going to keep filling in the gaps. We're going to keep standing in the gap, reaching out, bringing people in. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stand in the gap. Praise God. We're not afraid.
We're not afraid of being mocked. We're not afraid of how we look. We know no weapon formed against us will prosper. We know we're doing what God's put in our heart. You got to get an attitude. Because this is the kind of stuff that comes at Christians all the time to try to keep them from moving forward. So we built the wall. And the entire wall was joined together. Praise God for unity. Thank God folks are coming together. Hallelujah. They were joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. They had a mind. They were mindful of what God had called them to do, and they weren't distracted and entangled with a bunch of other stuff. They had a mind to work. We got to get our minds focused on what God's called us to do. Otherwise, it'll never happen. There's so many distractions in this world. So many things pulling for our attention. So we're going to have to purpose to have our minds focused on the work God's called us to do. Verse 7, now it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and what? Create confusion. Has anybody been dealing with some excessive confusion lately? Oh, yeah. See, I know it is because I talk to people all the time in the church, and I also know these things in the spirit. Folks just dealing with confusion. It's another weapon of the enemy. Tries to bring us into a place of confusion so that we don't know what end is up. But God's been helping us on Wednesday nights. With some of the messages that he's been bringing forth, he's been trying to clear up these things and help us through these things. But it's all part of what God's called us to do, see? He's called us to build this wall, stand in the gap. Hallelujah. Now more than ever. And what does the enemy do? He mocks, he does all these things, tries to make self conscious, makes you feel spiritual and so forth. And what does he do? He tries to create confusion. Try to do things in your life, attack different areas of your life to just cause confusion. He can't kill you. No weapon formed against you will prosper, but he could try to stir up confusion around you so that you begin to believe you're defeated, even though you're victorious at heart. Verse 9, nevertheless, in the midst of this confusion, these people are focused. Look at this. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. And the Lord told us at the beginning of the year that for the first 3 months, January, February, March, here at this church, we need to spend extra time in prayer. If we're going to get through this thing, what do we got to do? Pray. If we're going to have this breakthrough, if we're going to stand in the gap, if we're going to see souls saved, if we're going to see things, we're going to see a measure of revival take place. What's going to have to happen? We're going to have to pray. Pray. See, all this stuff's coming out, and now there's confusion. What do? Go into the sanctuary and pray. Yeah. What are we doing? Go pray. Well, I don't have time for prayer. Well, then you're just going to keep getting more confused. And then you'll just be over here doing some unfruitful thing. I'm getting a lot done. Going around in circles here. Chasing your tail. You ever see a dog chase his tail? Yeah, I see Christians do it all the time. Not in this church, but I do see people do that all the time. You know, just chasing their tail. They get a glimpse of it through their peripheral vision. They see their tail and they think they're being followed. And then they just start running around in a circle. You know? And they're burning a lot of energy and they're doing so much for Jesus. But they really aren't, are they? No, they're just chasing their tail. Well, that's going to cause you to get really confused. Stop it. Pray. Pray. Amen. It's time to pray. Pray. Praise God forever. What an honor and a privilege it is to pray. Now, some folks look at that as a works thing. Man, that is a blessing. Get so refreshed, get so blessed talking with the Lord. What an honor. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Remember, Jesus said, in the garden to his disciples who were so tired they had to sleep. He said what? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. That doesn't mean sit there and look at your watch while you're praying. To see how long you've been praying. He says, watch and pray. Remember, we shared the scripture from Isaiah last week. Isaiah 62, verse 6 says, I have set a watchman on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. See, we just read that. We set a watch against them day and night. He says, I've set watchmen on your wall. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establishes and till he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. What's it talking about here? It's talking about folks that they're going to continue to claim the promises of God and they're going to stand in faith and continue to speak the word of God, continue to declare their faith until they see what they know is God's will come to pass. And they're not going to give up. They are not. They go to sleep with this. They wake up in the morning with this. Father, I just thank you. I just thank you for my neighbors. I thank you for the church. I thank you for this. And you're praying. Praying for the work of God. Praying for the people of God. They're a part of your life. You carry them around in your heart. Because you carry the heart of God in you. Amen. We carry this around all the time. Day and night. Day and night. We'll mention these things to the Lord. We'll mention the work of God and the people of God to the Lord. And this is all part of our own protection. To guard us from these lies and deceptions of the enemy. Verse 10, then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. Notice this, they're being overwhelmed. Has anybody felt overwhelmed lately? Yeah. Overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by things. It's impossible. It's too much. There's just too much. Too much going on. Too much happening. It's just like it'll never change. It's just like it's impossible. And people are being overwhelmed. Well, that's what they started saying. See, it started, some of it started sinking in. Some of what the devil was saying and doing started sinking in. And now they're saying it. The strength is failing. And there's so much rubbish. We're not able to do it. We can't do this. We can't build the wall. Verse 11. And our adversaries said. Who's our adversaries? Devils. Right? The devil's always talking. You know that? A lot of folks, you need to realize that. It's not just you having a bad moment. It's not just you. You've got adversaries. And it's screaming in your face.
I don't know why I feel so lousy today. I don't know why I'm just thinking negative thoughts.
The devil. It's the devil.
No, I think it's Charlie.
Well, he probably has a devil too. But it's the devil. You got adversaries screaming in your ear. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. We shouldn't be ignorant of that. We should know that by now. Many times I talk to people, they're going through stuff. I said, well, did you take authority over the devil yet?
No, I haven't done that.
I get that all the time. I'm talking about in this church right here. People go, I'm going through it. This is happening. Charlie's gone off the deep end. Everybody's going crazy. And I've done this, and I've done that, and I went here, and I did that. Did you take authority over the devil yet? People are so ignorant of Satan that it's him. He's the one doing it. Take authority over that devil. Say, devil, shut up and get out of my way. Take your hands off my property. Take your hands off my life. Get bold. Drive that devil out. Thank God we got authority over him. Hallelujah. And our adversaries said, they got a lot to say. If you let them say it, they'll say it all. I don't let the devil talk in my ear. I say, shut up and go. Hallelujah. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. Now what's the devil doing? He's trying to bring the fear of death on people. Get people afraid of dying. Get people fearing for their life. That's what he does. Let's jump over here to verse 16. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction while the other half held spears and shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside him. So notice this. These folks, they got to go to work. They got to go about their daily business. People got a lot going on. But in the midst of your work week, you are aware of your spiritual adversaries. You're aware of their threats. And you put on the full armor of God. You keep that armor on. In other words, you keep yourself conscious of spiritual realities. I don't care how busy your work week is. You don't lose sight and thus remove your armor. If you lose sight of it, you've taken it off. You've laid it aside. A lot of folks will pick it up. They'll go into prayer. They'll put their armor on. They come out of prayer. They take their armor off and they go running to work. No. Now it's time to go about your work week, armed and very aware of your sword, which we know is what? The Word of God. The Word of God. We've got our sword. We're aware of it. We're aware of the Word. We're speaking the Word. And that's why you just got to take it out. Swing it around a little bit. You got to wear your armor. You got to be aware of the Word of God. You got to be aware of your breastplate. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You need to say that a lot. There's a lot of things trying to slime on you in this world. Try to make you feel unrighteous. You need to constantly say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You go through this dirty planet, you need to walk through it saying, I'm higher than this, I'm better than this, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Speak all the truth. Praise God, I got the helmet of salvation on. What's that? That's deliverance from every evil thing. I've been delivered from every evil thing. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Praise God, this life is temporary. I'm on my way to heaven shouting the victory. You got to encourage yourself. That's keeping yourself with armor, keeping yourself armed, protected, and dangerous to the devil. So he looks, he goes, oh. See, that's what was happening. Sanballat and all his Ammonites, all these demons, see, they keep looking. They're looking for an opportunity to attack. But these laborers, man, they're filling in the gaps for other people's lives, and they're soul winning conscious, and they're concerned about others, while at the same time, they're walking around, they're armed, they're aware of their weapons, they're aware of the righteousness of God, they're aware of the armor of God, they're aware of these things, and the devil knows he can't move in on them. See, Satan seeks an opportunity to attack. He looks for opportunities. And when he looks at you, he should never see an opportunity. You can be in the middle of something, and all of a sudden you just turn around and go. You wave your sword a little bit. You're always conscious of that word. Just every once in a while, just take it out. He sees your arm. He sees you're conscious of who you are in Christ Jesus. And it keeps him away. I said it keeps him away. He'll throw stones and he'll say things and he'll yell things and he'll try to get you to think that you're not armed and you're vulnerable and you're feeble and all these things. But you just keep shining your armor. Just keep shining it. Keep standing tall in it. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. How are people going to take care? They're part of the wall. And we're going to see great things happen in the days ahead. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888 888- 542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.